Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, urban destination fees. City hotels' answer to those bogus resort fees are spreading like wildfire, and Guy Fieri strikes out in Times Square again.
At 3:20, we make you a smarter traveler by answering your questions from our mailbag. Reselling your timeshare, saving seats on Southwest, and making international hotel reservations, that's what tops the list.
At 3:35, we are joined by one of the Travel Guy's oldest friends, Ed Mumm from Dig This in Las Vegas. Ed is the proprietor at the world's heavy equipment playground in Vegas, and now there's Dig This in Dallas, too.
At 3:50, we pause to remember a special Travel Guys fan and to update you on driver's license issues that was threatening to disrupt air travel.
It's nice to be back with you after a short holiday vacation. Thank you for your loyalty to our favorite Sunday afternoon radio show. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I got two tickets to Alaska.
To Alaska, they go north to rush you zone.
It's the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Glad to be back on New Year's Day show on the 31st, hosted specifically by Mark all by himself, along with the help of Luis and some pre-recorded guys from the TSA. So I don't think I've seen you, Mark, for... Gosh, I don't know, about 4 weeks, I think.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks here. Travel guys, one of them's out of town 1 week, one of them's out of town the next week. As long as we can keep one of them here, why we're okay. Thanks to Luis for filling in a little bit for you last week, helping me with the headlines. So how was your week, sir?
It was kind of unusual after being gone to San Antonio for a while and away from the station. Had at least 2 weeks out of the box next door where I do radio production on a semi-regular basis kind of get back into things. It's good to be back.
You know, you visit San Antonio often because you have family there. And I will just say, having gone there myself for a convention about a week and a half before Christmas.
Right. You left just before I got there, just so... chance.
San Antonio really is a beautiful city at Christmas time. The downtown area has lights and all the trees, and the Alamo, the outside of the Alamo is decorated for Christmas, and it feels very Christmassy. And of course, it has a very strong Hispanic influence. And Hispanic folks celebrate Christmas on a fairly grand scale with luminarias and all of those cool things. So it's really San Antonio. I felt like was kind of like getting two Christmas celebrations in one. Mm-hmm. You're kind of getting Mexican Christmas traditions and U.S. Christmas traditions all at once. So if you're looking for a pretty city to go at the holiday time to get into the spirit, I would definitely put San Antonio on the list.
I agree. We were there. We flew into San Antonio on Christmas Eve, and it was dark. Mm-hmm. And so as you flew into the city, you could see all of the neighborhoods all lit up with their special Christmas lights and so forth. And, you know, they kind of do it up big time. For those that are big Star Wars fans, there is a house in San Antonio that is known nationwide. If you go to YouTube or just Google it, San Antonio, or better yet, Google Star Wars House.
Okay.
And they have one of those, you know, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, super-duper lit-up houses with all the technology, but they use a Star Wars music.
Uh-huh.
And we actually saw that up close and in person. It is phenomenal.
Wow.
I mean, it lacks... this 4 minute Star Wars thing, then they'll do some other Christmas stuff. But it's pretty amazing. Yeah, I agree.
All right.
Enjoyed it.
Christmas lights down for 42 more weeks or 46 more weeks.
I took the last pieces off my house literally today.
That must mean it's time for the travel news then.
And here we go, as always, the top of every Travel Guy show. Mark, with the travel news, what you got?
Well, let's see here. We harp a lot about resort fees on this program, about what a ripoff they are to people, and about how, why doesn't the hotel just add the $25, $30, mm-hmm. charging me $25 for towels, access to the fitness center, and all the other things that used to be included with my room before you invented the resort fee. And now this is, we mentioned this in San Francisco over the summer. We found that the Park 55 Hotel had this urban destination fee that they had, bogus thing that they had put in, BS.
Urban destination fee.
It is spreading. Wow. More than a handful of San Francisco hotels have it now. New York hotels, it's up into the 50s. Everybody that's close to Times Square, it's happening. We talked about it on this program a couple weeks ago about how the Midtown Hilton has done it. Now some people have come up with some statistics that say that these resort fees are actually costing cities a lot of money, because the taxes, occupancy tax, isn't collected on the resort fee. So if the resort fee is $30 and they have a list of all the ones in New York City, and they figure that it's costing New York City about $800,000 a year from one hotel.
Amazing.
So we're talking about tens of millions of dollars in lost taxes because these fees are not part of the... And our complaint isn't necessarily about the fee. Our complaint is that it's not part of the room rate. When you pull it up on the internet and you look and you see what the room rate is, that resort fee is not in there, and it should be. And right. And most of them are bogus fees anyway. But this is kind of an interesting approach. That if this breaks out across the country and municipalities start saying, look, we're losing a lot of tax revenue here and we want to capture that, it might put some pressure to get rid of this. But urban destination fee of $20, $25, $30. And what the hotels are doing is they're putting in a coupon good in the restaurant, so, or the bar. So you're going to get a $15 coupon with your $30 urban destination fee. But we all know that the person who goes into the hotel, bar, or restaurant doesn't spend just $15. Mm-hmm. So it's a hook to get you to spend more money in the property. And unless they give you those coupons every single day and allow you to put them all together. Now, if you got a $15 one every day and you were staying 5 days, and at the end of 5 days, you could go in and get yourself a $75 dinner or something, that might have some value. But most of this stuff is just bogus. I strongly recommend that when you run into these resort fees and stuff, you're going to have to pay them. But I strongly recommend that you get verbal and vocal about them every time you get the opportunity. Hammer the front desk people. Yes, they aren't the people who make the policies, but at some point in time, they're going to go to their boss and say, you know, you've got to do something about this. So stay after it, and maybe eventually consumers will win. Go to TravelGuysRadio.com for this next one. You can see a video of a guy from Ryanair who he was sitting through a delay, and he decided that the plane had waited long enough. It was a flight from London. It had been delayed for about an hour. And so a Polish man in his 50s took his hand luggage with him and opened the emergency exit while the plane was on the ground, mm-hmm. and went out and sat on the wing. And you might say, this couldn't possibly have happened, except go to TravelGuysRadio.com, and there's a link there, and you can see Ryanair is a economy airline that flies in Europe, and a gentleman decided that he had waited long enough. He didn't want to wait inside anymore. He would just take his stuff and go wait outside. And if you watch the little videotape, you can hear the folks in the background are somewhat amused and in disbelief that the man has actually done what he's doing. Needless to say, he was arrested, so it probably didn't work out all that well for him, but it got him on the Travel Guys news, so there you go. Guy Fieri is pulling the plug on perhaps the most mocked restaurant in America, says the headline. Mm-hmm. Some folks listening have probably heard about this. Guy Fieri's Guy's American Kitchen and Bar just off of Times Square closed on December the 31st. And so it means now that you don't have Guy Fieri to pick on anymore around Times Square. The restaurant got just skewered in reviews. The New York Times restaurant reviewer gave it no stars.
Wow.
But I have to tell you, it's a block from the Marriott Hotel where Sports Leisure Vacations groups stay in New York.
And you've been there?
We've been using the restaurant for most of our groups for 3 or 4 years. And excellent. They had great ribs. It was really good food and really good service, and we generally found it to be a wonderful restaurant. So the prices were Times Square prices, but that's what you find on any restaurant around Times Square. But that's not the first time that Mr. Fieri has had a restaurant that hasn't made it in Times Square. So it goes to show you that no matter, even if Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives is playing 24/7 on TV, it doesn't necessarily mean that people are going to like your restaurant.
Right, yeah.
So
did you think that whoever did the review had something out for Guy personally?
There were a lot of bad reviews over time. But like, as I said, I was in the restaurant a half a dozen times, and I'm pretty critical when it comes, especially the Times Square.
I was going to say, man.
You spend a lot of money. I mean, you can spend $50 for a casual dinner around Times Square, mm-hmm. and the food there was good. I will miss it. I have no. And he hasn't had a lot of luck with restaurants. He had one just down the street here, Wasabi or something
yes.
It's not there anymore.
No, it's a pancake house
now.
Well,
he probably barely knows where his next million is coming from. Here's kind of a cute thing in New Zealand over New Year's. They had a New Year's drinking ban in New Zealand. I don't exactly completely understand it, but so these guys built an island off the shore. And the Kiwis are kind of crazy. And they built this little island out during low tide and took all their booze out and sat on it. And then, of course, the tide started to come in. And, well, they probably know the rest of the story, but... Kiwis are kind of cute. Amex cards will no longer earn you 2x points for Uber rides, something that's been going on for the last 3 years, and now you can only get single points there. And let's see, what else have I got here of great interest? Hotels are changing their Do Not Disturb policy. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, Tom, when you were gone. One chain at a time after that thing that happened in Las Vegas with the shooting, where people felt like if the hotel had had more access to the room, maybe the man wouldn't have been able to have all those guns in there and stuff. So Disney has changed theirs. Hilton now, Hyatt fell in line. Hilton has done the same thing. Hilton is basically saying that if you put a Do Not Disturb sign on your door, you can expect that Hilton is going to come in once a day. And especially if you decline housekeeping, that somebody is going to have the right to enter the room once a day just to make sure that everything is the way it is supposed to be. So if you're doing something weird in your room and putting on the Do Not Disturb sign, just know the hotel is probably going to come and check on you at some point.
Wow. Okay.
Time. So if you're having that 24-hour, all-nighter thing, why then just you might want to cut it off at 23 hours and a half, and that's your travel news for today.
Yeah, why even have a Do Not Disturb sign if nobody is going to pay attention to it?
Well, but, you've got to be able to keep other guests safe and stuff.
Makes sense.
It does sort of make sense. I mean, it's their property, so anyhows.
All right. To the Travel Guys mailbag we go, one of the more popular.
We are overflowing. I have had so many people send questions about travel. Some of them that we've already answered in the past, but some good ones, I think. So we've got a good array.
One of my questions I see is on this list. We'll get to it next here on the Travel Guys. Tom, the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, travel and entertainment, by the way.
That's us.
Once in a while.
Somewhat entertaining and trying to get out of town.
There you go.
Travel and entertainment guys.
I'm looking forward to the part here with the Q&A with our mailbag.
We're going to skip that part.
Yeah. No. We're going to talk about people saving seats, okay?
Uh-huh.
So I will have a...
Before we get to the mailbag, I make one more plug for the website? Because I'm just looking at like the highlights here where Melissa, our webmaster, has.
Oh, she does such a great job.
She really does.
By the way.
And she's got it all up here. And there really are some cool, like there's a plane flying through Southern Lights, the Aurora Borealis, and there's the thing we talked about, the Ryanair passenger going out on the wing, and there's a thing here, don't go to Hawaii without reading this, a Chris Elliott article about what's missing from your hotel room. That's not because the housekeeper stole something. They're talking about things that hotels are not putting in your hotel room anymore.
There's one here. My wife, I'm going to share this with her when we get home because this is seriously important.
Uh-huh.
How to know if your flight will be turbulent.
There are ways to have an idea of those things. So anyway, it's at travelguysradio.com. We try to put interesting things there in the highlights each week along with all the stuff that we're talking about on the show. And some of the things from this mailbag segment here, if I ever get going, you can find there. So let's see here. The mailbag, by the way, our questions on travelguysradio.com. You can see it says leave a reply. You can leave a comment there. You can ask a question. If it's something really personal, I'll try to get back to you individually by email, and otherwise we'll try to answer your question on the air. The first one is here. I canceled a trip to Jacksonville, Florida last fall. The airline told me I had a year to use the credit I received, but I didn't get any kind of a notice from the airline telling me how much credit I have or when it has to be used by. Can you help?
Did they say what airline?
Ah, see, you're getting better all the time.
Hey, after about 6 years of hanging out with you, I learned one thing. Anyway.
And that's it. As you know, because you're a Southwest flyer. You cancel a ticket that you've already bought more than you. First of all, you have 24 hours to cancel a ticket without charge, no matter what airline it is in the United States. After 24 hours, you're kind of in trouble. And so if your ticket was on Southwest, as it turned out, this gentleman's ticket was, he has a year from the date he bought the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
To buy another ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Every airline is different. Some, the clock starts ticking the day you buy the ticket. Some, it starts ticking the date the original ticket was due to depart.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them you have to fly within the 1 year, and some of them you only have to rebook within 1 year. So the answer to this gentleman's question is, it depends on which airline you flew. If you flew Southwest, it's a little easier. If you flew United, American, Delta, you're going to get a charge for having canceled your ticket, $150, $200. And then the rest of it, if your ticket was for more than that, can be used. And generally, it's got that 1 year thing. But mm-hmm. be careful, because a lot of people get caught in the, well, I have a year to use it. But you really only had a year from the date you bought the original ticket, and that might have been 3 months before you canceled the ticket. So be careful and make sure that when you cancel an airline ticket, if you're canceling with somebody on the phone, get some verbal things. But if you go to any airline's website, you will find the information on how long you have to use that ticket.
A lot of times the airlines in Southwest, I know for sure, will send you a cancellation confirmation.
Yes.
And the details in regards to when you need to use that ticket by and what the value is going to be.
And printed. You can bet that the reason some airlines don't send that is because there's a lot of breakage there, and yeah. they don't want that ticket to ever get used. And so the less oftentimes they remind you that you have it, why then?
And one note, and mm-hmm. I'm, and Mark, you can chime in as to whether the other airlines do this, but with Southwest, when you want to use that credit, you need to be able to remember the confirmation number
yes.
of the flight that you redeemed those dollars.
Your
or
original
for.
Flight, yes, yeah. the confirmation number, because that's how you access the credit.
Yes.
So keep your paperwork mm-hmm. in addition. Okay, I thought I heard you say some time ago that if your baggage didn't arrive on your plane, the airline was supposed to refund your baggage fees. My United bags were delayed 2 days, but they won't refund the baggage fees. If the airline, indeed, this is the case now, is it is a rule. And if your bag does not show up and you checked in, you know, airlines have a 30 or 45 or probably on international a 60-minute cutoff. So if you check in after that time, then your bags are in jeopardy. If they don't show up on the other end, the airline is not going to take any responsibility. But if you checked in time and your bags didn't show up on the other end and you've left the airport and they're not showing up within a couple hours on the next flight or something like that and being delivered to you that day, then yes, the airline owes you what you paid for your baggage fee back. Another question. I'm trying to sell my parents' timeshare. Mom is in a care facility. Dad has passed. She won't be able to use it again. She's getting bills for property taxes and maintenance fees. Who do I talk to? We talk about this from time to time. Tom and I are both owners of timeshares, reluctantly. I don't recommend timeshares for just about anybody. They are not the good deal, no matter what the salesman tells you. It's likely that you can stay in a nice hotel, even in a suite, And for the same price in the same destination, when you figure up the maintenance fees, the baggage, all of the extra add-ons. So there are places to sell a timeshare. There are places that you can, and I'm looking at our list here, and I don't. Yes, it is right at the top. Reselling your timeshare. TravelGuysRadio.com. There are a couple of links to things that will help you. But be careful, though. People reselling timeshares in many cases are no more ethical than the people who sold it to you in the first place.
One thing you could also do if you so chose, if the family members would like to have the timeshare, continue to pay the maintenance fees and use the property. If mom is in a position to do so, you can contact the people that you purchased it from, and you can add co-owners or transfer ownership to someone in your family.
So there you go.
I would look into it if for some reason you felt that, gee, we would maybe just want to do that.
If it's something that you have an interest in.
Yes.
But if you don't, otherwise those property taxes and maintenance fees and stuff are going to keep coming. Something that the timeshare people don't always fully disclose when you're buying a thing is the fact that you got an every other year thing or something. But there are going to be things that aren't part of the purchase price that are going to be ongoing. So just when you're buying a timeshare, good Lord, it's just leave. If you go to a timeshare presentation, leave your wallet at home. Okay. Southwest needs to create a rule for people who save seats, says a Travel Guys listener. I got on a flight the other day and someone was saving two entire rows of seats.
Ooh.
I was really tempted to sit in one.
Wow.
I called Southwest about this and they said to me, I said, why do you not have a rule? And they said, well, we don't have a rule. You're right. And I said, is there a reason for that? And they said, we don't have a rule. You're right. And so basically Southwest, they know that this is going on.
Right.
But and they know that some people, you were telling me a story here before we went back on the air.
Our person who wrote to the mailbag, that might have been me. I've been known to do that. I won't save, you know,
you buy one upcharge and save a second seat, which is that's what everybody's doing.
Well, either that or the first person in our group that gets on grabs a seat.
Well, there you go. Okay. One last quick one here. I'm about to travel overseas, worried about roaming charges on my phone. Do you know of a way to get cell service outside the country without paying hundreds of dollars? Very complicated situation. TravelGuysRadio.com. There's a link, international cell phone information. There are a lot of ways to go. It depends on which country you're going to. In terms of which program or which thing might be best for you. So that is all the answers from the mailbox. Again, you can go to TravelGuysRadio.com and send us a question if you like.
Lots of things to do in Las Vegas. Ed Mum joins us next. We're going to talk about heavy equipment to play with.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's next here on the Travel Guys right after we find out what in the world's going on in the news. That's now.
Amarillo by morning. Up from San Antonio.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys on KFBK. Nice to be back with you after a week off last week. All of us Sunday folks were off for a week. Thomas, I was going to talk about, we're always telling people protect your passwords and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Sure. We do that all the time.
So a couple weeks ago, I go into the office in the morning and I have a couple messages from Holiday Inn waiting for me.
Sure. You're a part of your...
I've got a Holiday Inn credit card and I'm a member of their frequent traveler program. And the first it says, thank you. First message says, thank you for using your reward points. And at our property in Florida, and I thought to myself, gee, I don't recognize that property in Florida.
Weren't you there? No.
I hadn't used any points.
Ooh.
And the next email down said, you've changed your password at holidayinn.com. And in case and I opened it up and it said, in case you didn't change your password, why, you might want to let us know. And indeed, someone had hacked into my account, taken off all but about 3,000 of the points to stay four nights in Florida. And so the reason I bring this up is because you get a lot of promotional emails and stuff from people that you might belong to a frequent guest program. Mm-hmm. But if you get one that says, hey, thanks for using your points at, and you're thinking to yourself, I didn't use my points,
red flag.
Then it's time to go check the account and get on the phone. And especially if you get one that says, hey, you changed your password. If you didn't change it, well, you might want to let us know. Then in this case, it saved me about $150,000. Holiday Inn points.
Any idea? I'm sure that you've run this through the brain more than once.
Uh-huh.
How do you think they they were able to pull that off.
Absolutely no idea. But the Holiday Inn people didn't seem all that concerned about it. I mean, it wasn't like I was the first person to ever call with that. But Holiday Inn has a little bit different login thing where you just use a PIN number instead of a password. So it's four digits. I would think that would be easier to decipher. I'm not a techno guy, but that would be easier to decipher. But anyways, waiting for us on the phone.
Off to Las Vegas we go.
We do. One of our very first and best guests on the Travel Guys 100 years ago, well, not that long ago when we started the program, was a gentleman from Las Vegas who talks funny, and his name is Ed Mum, and he's back on the phone with us today. Hi, Ed.
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Good to be back.
Outstanding. Yeah, Ed, thank you so much for joining us again. Do you have any idea how long ago it was that you were a guest with the Travel Guys?
Oh, man, I think it was probably 6 years ago.
Wow, yeah. I think he was. I think Ed was on our very first year. You can tell Ed has kind of a Las Vegas accent.
Yeah, yeah, just south of Las Vegas, about 3,000 miles.
Yeah, hey, Ed, listen, Dig This is working pretty well in Las Vegas, and for folks who don't know what we're talking about, it's you go out in Las Vegas and you can rent a piece of heavy equipment and you can go out, male, female, or otherwise, and be like a big equipment operator. And now when I was preparing for our interview today, I see that there's a Dig This down in Dallas now, too.
Yep, we're expanding, you know. A lot of people travel to Las Vegas just to come and do Dig This, so and enjoy that experience. So we've started to franchise the operation now and get it into some other areas and give people the, you know, get in good proximity so people can come and enjoy it.
Wow.
Franchising. So that means if Mark and I, the Travel Guys, wanted to, you know, sit down and do some business with you, we could become franchisees of Dig This. And, you know, if we had a large plot of land, would you and your company provide us with the equipment?
You know, we provide you with everything. We get the equipment organized, the IP, the know-how, and the guys are good to go. I think you two would be great operators.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Thank you.
You got the operator part right, I think, there. Ed, listen, Ed, talk to me a little bit about Las Vegas. In the last 15 or so years in Las Vegas, the town has changed really from a huge gambling emphasis to more of a, I don't know whether to call it adventure necessarily, but to more of an experience, to come to Las Vegas and do something that you'd never done before. It used to be get drunk and gamble away all of your money, but now it's go out and do things like Dig This. And yours is not an inexpensive attraction, but it's not expensive compared to the other things that are available in Las Vegas. Just what are your thoughts about how Las Vegas has changed its focus?
Yeah, definitely. You know, people really aren't there, you know, it's for the sole purpose of gambling anymore. You know, it's an experiential destination now. And the things that are coming into town are quite incredible. I mean, I think the latest one that came in was an axe throwing facility where you can, you know, see how you go throwing axes. But
axe.
That's for those who are trying to translate there, that's an axe throwing facility, yes.
Yeah, just the way I said it. Anyway, definitely, you know, we see new people coming in, you know, almost monthly just with a whole new experience, and it's great. You know, the town has a lot of business, a lot of conventions and meetings, and so, you know, they don't want to go out and gamble afterwards. They want to just enjoy what's available, you know, that the city has to offer, and there's just a myriad of really cool experiences that they can come and enjoy.
I suspect that there are people who come to Las Vegas these days and don't do a lot of gambling, but just take advantage. Listen, one of the best ghost hunts in the country leaves out of Las Vegas every night and goes up to Good Springs. And how do I know that? Because I've been on it a couple of times. So whether you want to dig ditches or look for ghosts or ride go-karts or real racing cars, not go-karts, it's all there. Ed, tell folks here, we know you, but our listeners might not. If they're going to Las Vegas or to Dallas, and they're tell them what is the Dig This experience?
Look, it's just Dig This is basically an adult-sized sandbox where people can come in and enjoy the thrill of operating big, large, earth-moving equipment. We've got five different pieces of equipment that we operate. We've got bulldozers and excavators and track-type skid steer loaders, and so you know, it's for those people that, you know, drive past construction sites, you know, on a daily basis and look in and go, man, I wish I could just have a go of that. And, you know, so that's what we did. We provided a really cool, safe, experiential facility where people can come and enjoy the thrill of operating big equipment so, and leave with a big smile on their face.
So if Mark and I went and he had the big dump truck and I had the loader thing, I can load up his dump truck with like sand or dirt or something?
Yeah, look, we don't have dump trucks. You know, we tend to keep away from wheeled equipment. It just goes a little bit faster.
What Ed's saying is he trusts people, but not that much.
Yeah.
Where'd our dump truck go?
You may want to just bring his car and smash it, because we've got this cool thing called the aggression session now where you can just... Yeah. Come all the daylights out of a car.
Yeah, Tom, you can look on the Dig This website, and literally there's this thing called an aggression session. So you can go out and pummel a poor automobile or something.
You know, Ed, do you remember the last time you were on and we asked you the question about most unusual folks and most interesting that came there to participate? And you had a gal who... Literally, I don't know what particular piece of equipment she had, but she was using it and smashing it on the ground and taking out her frustration and aggression towards her ex-husband.
That's right, and I think had she had a car or his car, she would have been delighted to have that opportunity.
So that must have been the where you got the idea of the aggression.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a lot of people around it with a lot of things on their mind. They got, you know, maybe last year was a tough year for a lot of people, and we're just seeing a lot of people coming in and just what we do is we give them a can of paint, and they get to spray whatever's on their mind on their car.
Uh-huh.
Then, you know, whether it's the ex or, you know, their taxes or, you know, their boss or whatever, they can spray whatever they want on their car. And then they're ready and primed, ready to go. And, you know, you want to just see some of the video, the way they take to these cars.
There are a variety of different experiences. They start at less than $100. We have a little special discount for you. If you mention the Travel Guys or you enter it when you're booking, why, you'll get a special discount if you are thinking about going down to Las Vegas
and
doing a Dig This. And if anybody's out there who has been down to Vegas and has done this or is thinking about doing it, we would love to hear from you at the Travel Guys. Ed, what's the most popular thing that people do at Dig This?
Definitely the excavator. It's just, you know, it takes about 5 to 10 minutes to get up and going and getting your eye-hand coordination kicked in. So it's definitely the fastest one to get going on. But bulldozers and excavators are our most popular, for sure.
I don't remember if I asked you this before, but I'll ask you now. What led you to, do you have a background in heavy equipment? What made you one day wake up and go, this is a great idea?
Well, you know, I have a farming background back in New Zealand. And so, but when I got here to the States, I live in Colorado most of the time. I built a house, and I decided to do most of the excavating work myself without much experience. But I had a good friend help me, who was a great operator. And I'd been on a lot of bulldozers, but not excavators. And so I was on my dozer clearing the land, and he was on his excavator cleaning up behind me. And he said, here, jump in this. And then I did, and then after 15 minutes of being on that machine, I thought that was one of the best experiences I'd had in my life. And I thought, if I'm enjoying this, imagine the amount of people that want to come in and do this but can't. So that's where it really started.
How is the Dallas? Are you up and running in Dallas already?
Yeah, we're in a wonderful location called Texplex, and we're one of many different experiences on offer. There's jet boats, there's... a magnificent off-road mountain bike course and general biking courses. There's, there's side-by-side four-wheel drive adventures in there. But it's called Texplex. And we've been there since June. We opened there in June, and things are going well down there. We also opened in New Zealand as well. So there's a operation running down there.
I'm telling you, Ed is going to be a corporate conglomerate. We won't even be able to get him on the phone the next time we call him.
If you just tuned in, we're talking with Ed Mum. He's with Dig This. It's an adult playground in Las Vegas. And Ed, we have iHeart Media facility right there in Las Vegas, and I was talking to some of the people that work out of that facility because they're part of our regional headquarter group, and they're not very far from you. And I know you guys do a lot of corporate team building. I'm going to have to shoot this up the ladder here and see if the team wants to get a hold of you and do a
corporate
event.
What a great idea, though, that would be for because a lot of businesses and stuff do events in Las Vegas. And I'm sure Ed has tapped into this market, but what a great idea, a way to take your team and go out and do something really fun and different and something that would be, you know, that would be memorable. Sometimes as the owner of a company, sometimes you spend money on things like that and it doesn't always resonate with the people that you're buying it for. I'm guessing taking them out and letting them play with heavy equipment for an hour or so would probably be something they would remember. You think, Ed?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's 50% of our business is doing that kind of, you know, their corporate work. So definitely. And look, it's something they'll probably never, ever do again, you know, as a group. And you know, they really embrace it when they're out there and enjoy that experience for sure.
The name of the attraction is Dig This. It's in Las Vegas, and now it's in Dallas. So if you're headed to one of those two places, you can go to TravelGuysRadio.com, and we have a link to Ed's websites there. And I mentioned a little extra discount for Travel Guys listeners. Ed, thanks for the update, buddy. Congratulations on the success. Now you're on two different continents.
Absolutely, and we're looking at more, so when I come on your show next, hopefully we'll have one or two others open. We can talk about those as well.
Outstanding.
Good to be on your show.
Outstanding. I get to Vegas two or three times a year, and Ed, I'll tell you, I'm going to come by and see you here within the next few months. I'll look forward to it.
Yeah, likewise.
All right, you stay well.
Thanks,
we are the
guys.
Yes. Okay, we're the Travel Guys. More to come. Mark has something here having to do with, I don't even know what this is, driver's license issues threatening to disrupt air travelers. And a special shout out to one of our all-time great listeners. That's next here on The Travel Guys.
Put on my blue suede shoes and boarded the plane.
Welcome back to The Travel Guys. Mark and Tom here on
Tom
a...
And Tom and Mark.
Mark always, and Tom always, here.
Get first billing sometime.
I'm looking out the window,
yes.
And we're going to get some rain tonight.
We are.
We are supposed
I'm
to.
I'm looking
it only,
forward to
have
it.
You noticed it only rains at night now, which is a great convenience, I think. You know, I mean, it's supposed to actually still be raining tomorrow morning. But all right, let's see here. We've got a few odds and ends here as we wrap up an edition of the Travel Guys. People oftentimes, Tom, one of the most often asked questions at TravelGuysRadio.com is, what is the best travel credit card? And oftentimes the answer is, it depends.
Mm-hmm.
If you stay in a lot of Hilton hotels, then it probably would be wise for you to have a Hilton card in your wallet. If you fly a lot of Southwest Airlines flights, it would behoove you to have a Southwest credit card. You might decide if you travel a lot to have two or three. Our credit card guru, who hasn't been here with us for a while, but someday we'll be back, Ben Schlopig. Ben has a website, a blog called onemileatatime.com. And Ben issued a thing, and we've put it up at TravelGuysRadio.com so you can see this. He has 20, he says, the title of the article is 21 Credit Cards That I'm Starting 2018 With. And he has all of them there, and he explains why he uses them, how he assigns values to them. So if you are a credit card geek, if you are a points guy and you really like to follow these things, then there is a breakdown there on what one of the most reputable points guys in the country considers to be the almost two dozen most relevant cards for the way that he spends money. And it's possible that there are some other ones in there, but it's certainly a place to start. If you're curious about it, go to TravelGuysRadio.com, and you can click on the part that the 21 credit cards I'm starting 2018 with. There's also a link there. Ben has 7 credit cards that I actually spend money on. In other words, 14 of these cards he uses only in specific situations. Mm-hmm. The other seven are his fairly regular type cards. And people who are listening might say, good Lord, 21 credit cards. I mean, 21 credit card statements a month. But you have to understand that Ben has figured out how to play this game in a way that it behooves him to take the time to reconcile all of those statements.
Yeah, Ben spent a lot of years researching and studying what it was that he was going to do. This is not, we're not, travel guys are not recommending that you go out and by any stretch of the imagination and get yourself 21 credit cards. There's some interesting things in this article in regards to credit scores and how amassing a lot of credit cards, it doesn't necessarily, in most cases, just the opposite, ruin your credit.
It depends on how often you use the credit and how much unused credit there is at any moment in time. So if you have $100,000 in credit card credit available, line available to you, and you go to apply for a card and you've got $85,000 in outstanding spend, there's a pretty good chance you won't be approved. Doesn't matter how well you pay your bills and how good your credit is, if they see you're already extended. And likewise, if you don't always pay your bill on time, but they see you have $100,000 in credit, your credit's in pretty good standing, and you've only used $15,000 of it, you're much more likely to get approved. I don't pretend to know all of this, but Ben does. And if you go to Travel Guys Radio and click on one of those two links, you can find out a little bit about credit cards. All right. We promised a little bit of a tribute here to a Travel Guys listener that we lost. I lost my mama the week before Christmas. She passed away at her home in Roseville very peacefully. And she was a listener, avid listener of the program. Oftentimes, after I got off the air at 4 o'clock, I would go by a Panera restaurant in Roseville and pick up dinner and take it over, and we would talk about old times and stuff. She was a pretty magnificent lady, and I'm sure that most people would say that about their mothers. And because mothers are incredibly protective of their children. And my mother was no different. She raised three kids as a single mother in the 60s and the first part of the 70s. And there weren't a lot of people attempting to do that in the 1960s. She came to California with two very small children and $75 in her pocket. And we got off the train at 19th and J, L Streets there at the old, where the, it's a spaghetti factory now, but for a right. while in the 50s and 60s, it was where the California Zephyr stopped when it came to town. And so that's how we arrived in town. But she did a wonderful job. Most of anything in my life that is positive is something that's got my mom's fingerprints all over it. So, rest in peace, Mom. She got to pass at her home quietly and peacefully, and I'm very grateful for that. I wish she was still here, but I'm glad that she got to go in a quiet and peaceful manner. So she was a great listener of this program, and she was involved at Sports Leisure Vacations in its early years, and those that are members of our travel club will read a bigger tribute to her coming up in the newsletter, which will be out in about a week and a half. So farewell to Mom.
Very good. Thank you.
One more quick thing here. We have about a minute. We talked about how some driver's licenses were not going to be good for ID, especially to fly domestically. And this has been pushed back several times. California was one of the states with an extension. Let us just tell you now that this is out of play until 2020. All the states who didn't have, they're trying to get you to create the states to create a driver's license that will provide the security that will help TSA in making sure that people who fly planes are legitimate folks in the country. So anyway, it involves driver's licenses. Do not worry about it no matter what state you live in until the year 2020. Thomas, that wraps up a busy program.
It sure does. Thank you so much for joining us today. Again, visit travelguysradio.com. You can check out podcasts of past programs and have links to all the things that we've talked about on today's show.
Dance like nobody's watching. We'll see you next Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Stay well, my friends.